now to Belfast and that political earthquake for the DUP, which lost what was seen as the safest DUP seat in a huge shock. That was the seat of Ian Paisley Jr. It was taken by Jim Allister of the Traditional Unionist Voice. Sinn Féin emerged as Northern Ireland's largest party at Westminster, even though it won't take seats there due to its abstentionist policy. Alex Kane is a political commentator and former communications director with the Ulster Unionist Party and is in our Belfast studio. Alex, the dust has settled now and you've time to draw a breath. Let's look at the result of this election for the DUP. It lost seats to the Ulster Unionist Party, to Alliance and to the TUV. A truly dreadful election, really, for them, wasn't it?
It was a terrible election, and they almost lost a seat in East Londonderry to Sinn Féin as well. And that shows you the scale of the problem. If they were just losing from one party like the Conservatives were with Reform, you can work out maybe how do you cope with that. But when you're losing and potentially losing to four different parties, that's a huge problem for you.
What does this election tell us about the overall state of unionism then at the moment, when you have so many different factions now that have seats?
Well, in essence, it's exactly as it was, other than the fact that the TUV and UUP are back. Well, TUV for the first time is in Westminster, and the Ulster Unionist Party haven't been there for the past 7 years, and they have one member back. But on the ground, those divisions have been there for decades. And I think it'll just get worse because there's no unanimity. All the parties are already blaming each other. The TUV say, well, you know, it's not our fault you lost seats. The DUP saying, well, if the UUP and the TUV hadn't been involved... The problem is that they fail to realise that what they must do is in fact do what Sinn Féin is doing. They need to sit down, they need to work out exactly what their target is, they need to work out exactly what their long-term ambition is, they need to work out exactly how do they best promote and preserve the union. How do they make unionism more attractive? Because John Tong said when you were talking to him that the unionist-nationalist balance is much the same as it was. And unionists will say, well, we're still ahead of the nationalism. But they have 43% of people who voted on Thursday voted for unionism. But in the event of a border poll, 43% is not enough to secure the union. So they have to sit down collectively instead of fighting each other over and over again is say, why are we collectively losing votes and how do we collectively get rid of that problem?
For unionist voters then who switched their vote to Alliance, is there anything that the larger unionist parties can do to get them back?
Well, it actually feeds into what I'm saying because a lot of people, and this is the irony, almost the paradox of all of this, that people who vote Alliance, people who used to vote for the unionist parties have shifted to Alliance, which is agnostic on the constitutional question. I think a lot of them, if there were a border poll fairly soon, they would vote to stay in the United Kingdom. But that begs the question, which you're asking, why would a unionist who should be, by definition, you know, not agnostic on the union, why would they be comfortable voting for a party which is agnostic? And I think the problem is that a lot of manifestations, not only of political and electoral unionism, but a lot of manifestations, people don't feel comfortable with their values and beliefs that go back maybe 50, 60, 70 years, which a modern generation, that post, if you like, 73 generation, doesn't reflect their beliefs.
A word on the nationalist votes, Alex. There's some debate today about whether better cooperation or a party withdrawing in certain areas would have yielded more seats for nationalist parties. Certainly, Gregory Campbell would have been under pressure, having won his seat by, I think, less than 200 votes.
179 votes.
Yes, there you go. You have the number. And if the SDLP had not been in that contest, is there anything in it for the SDLP to cooperate with Sinn Féin in a case like that?
Well, I think if you're talking about the bigger project, the long-term picture of both parties are committed to a united Ireland, then yeah, if they could find some way of working together and not, you know, stopping each other winning seats, it would help. But the only way they can do that is that they get round the problem. Either the SDLP would say, we will become an abstentionist party, or Sinn Féin would say, we will stop being an abstentionist policy. Because it's clear there's still about a third of nationalism likes the idea. And I remember John Hume saying years and years ago about the abstentionists, he said, we would not be where we are now if it were not for the fact that I was in Westminster. I was talking to the people I needed to talk to. Sitting outside at critical, crucial moments in history may be good in some ways, but it doesn't give you the actual product at the end.
And finally, Alex, we have a new Northern Secretary, Hilary Benn, touring St George's Market in Belfast today. We counted 8 Northern Secretaries since Brexit, which is 8 in 8 years, tells its own story. Does Hilary Benn take over in a period of stability now at Stormont, or does the election show a fragility to what is there at the moment?
I think there's still a fragility, but what I think Ben brings, I think he personally brings a stability. He brings a knowledge, because some of the last few secretaries of state, I think, would have been hard pushed to point to Northern Ireland on a map before they came here. And when they were here, they weren't particularly interested. He is interested, like his father was interested in before him, in what was happening here. And I think what he has to do, his biggest challenge, because the DUP is coming under a lot of pressure, because when they start cutting down the votes here and chopping them up, the DUP is going to have to decide, did they lose votes because of their stance on restoring devolution and going back to the executive? Did they lose vote because of the problems surrounding their previous leader, Geoffrey Donaldson? Or did they lose votes because they as a party seemed confused? Because if it's the first one of those, if they decide they lost votes because they were seen to be weak on the Northern Ireland Protocol and weak on the Windsor Framework, Gavin Robinson will come under intense pressure to say to this government, well, look, you know, don't take it for granted we're going to keep this assembly going if you don't give us some return on solving the problems that we still have with the protocol, which leaves Northern Ireland in the EU, taking EU law. If that becomes a situation, then yeah, I'm not going to over-egg this, but I could see a route within 2 or 3 months where the DUP walks out of the assembly again.
Alex, thank you for talking to us today. That's political commentator Alex Kane in Belfast. More elections, this time in France, after the break.